We're still working on the intro and the outro because we want to get the new intro, new outro, and lower third.
Yeah, you gotta change.
It's that time again.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't know if I mentioned.
Yeah.
Did I mention it to you?
About changing it.
Yeah,
okay.
Ahora.
Yeah. But we want to do like lower third, intro, outro,
and you still have me as captain.
Yeah, I got you. We just gotta find a good outro song.
I mean, we can use one of the Supply Kingdom albums. Use Agua. I love that song.
Agua?
On the budget, on this place?
On the on La Onda Semahora, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to ask them to do that.
Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, just be the power I feel it, I was. Tune in to your history, you know it in your history. Power hour, feel it, I was.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I am Captain Yashua. You hear me?
I'm still not used to it. I am Deacon Yashua.
That's right.
I'm looking at the thing. Look, it like literally just popped up. Where's Captain Yashua?
I can't even put respect on my own rank.
Right, right.
I'm still trying to like, you know, absorb it.
Embrace it.
I'm still trying to embrace it.
Yeah.
I got like one arm around it, maybe not both. I don't know. I'm Deacon Yashua, along with Officer Shia.
Officer Tobias.
Officer Tobias. All praises to the Most High. We back. Reminders. Hey, we love to interact with y'all. Call in if you'd like to drop a comment, if you'd like to say some commentary on whatever it is we're speaking about. I don't want to say call in just to say shalom, because then you might have people just call in,
right?
Type the whole lot to say shalom. But, yeah. You know, I mean, sometimes some people just drop in to say what's up. I mean,
right.
That's happened before.
Right.
That's all right. Yeah.
Let them know we're not going to put them on the air with that foolishness either.
Oh.
We get a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. So, the producer just said, try to have a comment. Don't just say, I want to say shalom, right? We don't want to tie up the program with that. But, we want to interact, you know, we appreciate commentary. The calling numbers streaming across the screen on your lower third, the whole show, 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. Also, while we're at it, do not forget, depending on where you're watching us, if you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on now IUIC TV, if you're watching on IUIC in the classroom, head over to the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page. All right. We are trying to reach 15,000 subscribers. We are inching towards that. I'm looking at it now. It says 11.5.
We've been at 11 for a good while now.
Yeah. It wasn't 11.5 though, so I think we moved up a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
So we had 11.5. Subscribe, like, okay. We are trying to get the subscribers up. We're trying to reach 15,000 subscribers. And then when we reach 15,000, we're going to shoot for 20.
That's right.
Get it up.
We'll shoot for 20, we'll go for 25, all right? So head over there and take your time. Do it right now. Why wait?
If you're watching the radio show and you're not subscribed to IUIC Phoenix, come on, man. Come on, dog. Get in the spirit.
Also, you can go ahead and give us a follow at Instagram, on Facebook, and at Twitter, all right? That's also in the lower third there, IUIC Phoenix, at the lowest 144K. On Facebook and at IUIC Phoenix. All right. So subscribe, like, let's help us out. Again, that helps the algorithms Most of y'all found repentance via the internet, via YouTube, right? Some form of social media. And it was, if it wasn't local, it was, you know, national, but most of y'all found a national thing. So maybe you started with like a video topic and it wasn't for your local camp, but then something told you, let me go check out what, if they have them in my city, and you found that out. So that's really what we're trying to get going. All right.
You know what it was for me? That lower third that said, call us now. And then it said, we speak Spanish too.
Yeah.
And then when I saw that, cause I was watching IUSC for some time and I was like, man, if I can have one of these groups out here. And then it said, call now. One day I just paid attention to the lower third. It said, call now. It was that 1-800 number.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I got up immediately. Like, let me call.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And the rest is history, man. All praise to the Most High.
Yep. All praise to the Most High. And now he's the producer of our show. Very,
right.
Very painstakingly.
Mm-hmm.
We grew with him.
Mm-hmm. I was watching some of the old shows, bro. Damn.
Bro, we were using the phone when we first started. But the only thing that we had that was actually like professional grade was the mics and the mixes.
Yes.
That was it.
We've had the mics and mixes since you started.
Yeah, we've had that, which means good quality. It lasts a long time when we had that. And then we upgraded. And I remember I used to travel. We would still do the show like with
out
just
there.
A little. Yeah. I remember I used to have a little kit with a little tripod, and we would still do the show out
That's
there.
That's funny.
So it kind of evolved as we got more show schedules and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, we want to reach more people locally, not just, you know, nationally as well. So, go ahead and get those subscribes and those likes going for us, all right? All praise to the Most High. Yeah, look, someone just said, I started from YouTube videos watching Officer Liam and Captain Jan. Exactly. Most of us, that's what we saw. It wasn't like that for me. I had my cousin tell me about it.
Mm.
I mean, I grew up in New York, so I always saw Israelites like Fordham Road and
yeah, that's
and
crazy, bro.
All
like,
over the place.
I'd be thinking about the faith that you guys had because – Oh, you guys have. I'm not going to say had. Because not having YouTube videos, not having all the resources, not having a school, and then you guys were like, what? It says it in the Bible? Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now today we have YouTube videos. We have the website. We have images. We have videos. We have all that.
Yep.
But you guys didn't have none of that. And still was like, hey, can I come over? Okay, basement. Okay, living room. Okay, I'll be there.
That's how it was.
You know what I mean? I'm
That's
thinking
how
about that, bro.
Well, and you know what's interesting too, man, and I'll tell you what. It's interesting that you think about it that way. Let me get that in Romans, is it 16? I want to make a point here because a lot of times we go there. There's some brothers that like to go here to like kind of reinforce that you should respect that they were there sooner. But I want to bring something else out in this as we bring that out.
Seven?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, but before we get there, all right, before we read it, I want to address what you're saying. So it's interesting that you say that because I look at that and I say, where's the one we went over last week where it says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm Apollos, and get that too because I want to make my point. All of us had a predetermined time that the Most High had set for us when we would repent. Those of us who are in repentance.
Right.
And even though we should never get complacent that just because you're here, we see people leave all the time, that doesn't mean it's done. I've known people that have heard the word and then left and then come back and build themselves up to be mighty men so far. Right? We say so far because nothing in our minds is fixed. God knows what's fixed, right? And Jeremiah talks about I foreknew you and all of that. So he had that, right? He says whom he did predestinate. But a lot of times I think we look at that predestinate and many of us get comfortable in our seat here, whether you have rank or not. I mean, your literal seat.
Mm-hmm. And your calling?
Yes, in your calling. I'll say that. That's a good point that you make because, remember, the scripture tells you many are called,
right.
But few are actually chosen. All right? There's many amongst Israel, but few. Some people are reserved to just be here so that you can they're there to bring heresies, so that there's trials in the congregation. There's people that are here for a season. There's people who are here because maybe something's missing in their life at that particular point in their life, and they won't endure. It's not for us to say if they will or not, though there are signs when you have experience, right? You know, you cannot discount that the Spirit is giving you indication on people. But ultimately, it's not for any of us to say whether somebody will endure or not.
Right.
We can make presumptions of that. But there are indicators, right, based on experience, if somebody's going to make it here or not. And there's a lot of people here that they're here and they think that, okay, I'm here and that's it, right? But you don't know if you're chosen. Many are called, right? But you don't know if you're actually chosen, right? So when you speak about what you just said, and I was saying, you know, because basically I was saying I grew up seeing Israelites on the streets all over the place, right? And passing by and hearing them and never, ever stopping to say, let me see what this is about.
Right.
And that goes into Isaiah, where it says the Lord has poured the spirit of deep sleep onto us, right? Which means only he then can open it up. And this is when I went to this with Apollos and Paul last week. Where are we at?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man.
Right. So the point that I want to get here, and I spoke about this, I believe, last week, I want to give a little more emphasis to this based on what you just said, Officer Shire. It says every one of us, all right, it says ministers, meaning Paul and Apollos, they were just messengers by whom we believed, right? Meaning it was going to be up to God to give that increase, but they happened to be the individuals to bring the word, right?
Right.
So, you know, the brother said here with YouTube, it was Jan and Liam via YouTube,
right?
That was who God preordained to be your minister, all right? Because he says, even as the Lord gave to every man, meaning every one of us had someone. And they may not even, my minister's not here anymore. Mm. My minister bugged the hell out and became a traitor and went on national television and said that we're a hate group.
To the same group he brought you into.
To the same group he brought me into.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So my minister's no longer here, but that's who God used. And he knew and he had predestined and pre-reserved to say, I'm going to use you as a minister for this brother, for that brother, for this sister, so on and so forth. But he also had a predetermined time for that, because he knew the spirit. Remember, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I foreknew you. So he knew. You spoke about the faith. That's not something that I'm going to hang my hat on and say, oh yeah, I was so faithful to have come in at a time when there was no social media. I had a brother that showed me. I had meetups, and I eventually got some MP3s and some DVDs of my teachers.
Yeah.
I didn't know what my measure of faith was. Nobody knows until you continually have things in front of you that present you where you have to make a faithful decision. So there, the Most High wakes up spirits, not just by a preordained messenger, a preordained minister, but also in a predetermined time frame in your life of when you would be most ready to bring it up. And usually, right, get me that, where he says a broken and contrite spirit I will not despise. Usually you are called in affliction.
Right.
Usually that's when you will seek the Lord.
You're gonna
right?
look for him.
Right, in thy, and get me the one in thy affliction, they'll seek me early.
Yes, sir. I got Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
And most of us, we're not in 100% in the best places when we decided to repent.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking for something. We were yearning for something, right? We had a broken and contrite spirit that drove us to seek the Lord. And you know what? And that's so indicative of our people, because when we were good, when he had given stuff to us, we took him for granted.
Right.
It's only in affliction do we say, Lord, save us.
Right?
That's typically how it's done. But Get me the other one in the affliction. They'll seek me early. The book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse... No, is it 5? 5:15. It's been a while. You know what, CJ? I know we say it's a shame we got to seek him when we're like that, but try to look at it from the perspective of it had to be that way. This is why we're under the curses. This is why we're in the situation that we're in. Our spirits are not correct, and they will not be fully correct until the kingdom comes.
Real quick, it's a purpose. Like, everything with God has a purpose, right?
Right.
Can you hear me?
Get closer.
Yeah, so with affliction, there's a purpose behind it. Just like it talks about sorrow, there's a purpose behind sorrow. You have godly sorrow, and you have worldly sorrow. So it's the same thing behind the affliction.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And whole Wisdom of Solomon 9 and 13. All right, just hold that. Read this again. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense. So, CJ, yes, it is a shame. You know why? It's shameful because we did not serve the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with joyfulness and gladness in our heart. But it was also predestined that it would be this way.
Right.
So we should rejoice in that he put us in those predicaments, no matter how painful those things may be,
right,
no matter how remorseful some of those decisions. Well, there's another scripture that in Paul's letters where he talks about where we would be ashamed of the things we did, mm-hmm, like once we knew that they were not right. I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember where it is right now. But I got like a million scriptures in my head right now, so I don't mess me up. Don't mess me up. If you got something you want to say, just hold it, because then I'm going to lose it. All right? I wasn't supposed to go over this, but I guess we're talking about it, okay? Read this again, please. Let me get back on track.
I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
Right. So meaning God would not be present in our lives. See, remember dual meanings. Bishop brought that out. It means double, right? The scriptures, right? I think that was in Job. He brought that out last week, Bishop Nathaniel. And that first and foremost means as a people, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a people. But you can't be as a people and then not have the granular and it doesn't affect the individual, right?
Right.
The sum of its parts, right?
Yeah.
So it means also as individuals that God would be hidden from us, the one true God.
Right.
Our God was taught to us by our oppressors.
Right.
We were taught a false Christ. We were taught a false God.
That we are not the children.
That we are not the children of Israel. That we were Gentiles.
Right. Yeah.
That we should be grateful that this white Jesus even wanted to deal with us at all. Right? So he says, read it from the top again.
I will go acknowledge their offense.
And think about that. He says, I will return to my place till they acknowledge their offense as a people and then as an individual, right? Man, I wish I could remember right now, and I'll lose my thought if I start looking for it, where Paul talks about being ashamed. Producers, if you could just look up ashamed.
I got it.
Or ashamed. You found it?
No, I'm not.
Okay. But I don't want you to lose where we at here either, all right?
You want me to finish?
Read it from the top again.
I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense.
Right, he says, I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense. I want to precept the one where Paul talks about being ashamed of the things that we knew, because that's part of it. That's part of what leads us to that strong repentance, right? Oh, man, I don't want to lose my thought, but I want to look for it. Because I want to make that point. I hate when I can't remember.
Romans 6 and 21.
What's it say? Romans 6, 21.
The book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 21.
Yes, that's it. Okay, don't read it yet. Don't read it yet. Okay, read this again where you were.
The book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15.
Uh-huh.
I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
Meaning, I'm going to chill up here in the celestial, right, in the third heaven, until you acknowledge your offense. Not only as a people, but you each individually.
Mm.
I will go until you acknowledge your offense. In part of our repentance, the identity comes through and it sounds sweet. It's like honey.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you realize that you have to repent, it's bitter in your stomach, all right? You eat it, it tastes sweet in your mouth, like the scripture says, and then when you start to digest it, it's bitter in your stomach. Why? Read Romans 6.
The book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
Meaning, when we were without God, when we were without Christ, when he hid himself from us, because we did not know what our offenses were, okay? Once you know those things, you're shameful of those things that you did, mm-hmm. even though they were done in ignorance. Mm-hmm. Because that's the spirituality of us as a people being God's chosen.
Right.
You're ashamed. You have genuine remorse for what you did, regardless. And some of us did, on the scale of things, some of us did very egregious things, very terrible things, coming out of very challenging lifestyles. And even if it wasn't so extreme, they were still shameful because they weren't according to the scripture. Read Romans 6 again.
The book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed?
Because you look at that and you say, gosh, some of us will say, man, I was a Christian. I thought I was a relatively good person. Mm-hmm. He said, what fruit? What fruit do those things yield?
Right.
So he's saying those things that are not of the law lead to what? Read on.
For the end of those things is death.
Because the end of those things without the law was death. It would have led us to death if we would not have changed our ways. And I'll tell you something, without getting too crazy, I don't even want to say it about myself. In general, most men were whoremongers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what normally happens if you just live your life that way? You gonna catch the monster. You gonna catch a disease.
Right.
Something.
Right.
You might get mixed up with a woman that has a man, and jealousy's the rage of a man.
Right.
And be dead and shot up. Mm-hmm. Right. That's just one example. Right. If it was drugs, if it was something else, if it was alcohol, you drink yourself to death.
Right.
Right.
It could have been
whatever
all those
it is.
Things,
right.
All together.
I was a whoremonger.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna tell you, end thereof of those things would have been death for me. I can tell you that assuredly, right? So now read Hosea again. Hold Romans.
The book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense.
So I don't want to lose the point. All of us had a predetermined time. All of us had a ordained minister by God. Not an ordained minister that you go and you fill out a certificate.
Mm.
Meaning a preordained minister by whom we would receive the word, by whom we would believe in that time,
right.
in that moment, right? He says, but until they acknowledge their offense. So going back to when you're in that broken and contrite spirit, you're only ready for repentance when things are bad, not when things are good.
Mm.
I've yet to meet somebody that said my life was just perfect when I started to repent. I'm not saying somebody may not be out there. But chances are there was something off and something within you that felt and knew that something was missing.
Oh, your example is heavy. Can I say your example?
Go ahead. I don't even know.
Where you were working, where you were at in life.
Yes, yes.
Because you, it's not that you were going through like crazy stuff, right? You were doing good for yourself as
yes.
far as financially and work.
Yes,
and
I was successful by the world standards.
There you go.
I have bought my, I mean, and maybe it's not that impressive now, but I mean, growing up as on welfare in the projects, you know, Puerto Rican kid from the Bronx, I bought my house when I was 28, my first house, you know, by myself. But I mean, like I wasn't married. I mean, you know, I had a fiance at the time who, like a year later, we weren't together, but she wasn't on that. Like, I bought the house myself.
Yeah.
I was successful. I had a successful job in finance. I had a fancy title.
Right.
You know, I was driving a luxury vehicle, wearing nice suit, all things carnally
right.
that you thought would be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I was empty and depressed.
Right.
I was unfulfilled. And I couldn't find fulfillment in women. I couldn't find fulfillment in friends. I couldn't find fulfillment in anything.
Right.
Searching for love.
I remember the day, I mean, it hit like a ton of bricks because my cousin was slowly talking to me about scriptures over the years. But it was a novelty for me. It was funny because it was interesting, but I wasn't trying to repent. And I remember, man, I was laying on the couch. I had these brown microfiber couches. I remember it. I remember where it was on my house on the wall, where my TV was positioned. I was watching the Yankees. I don't know who they were playing. I was a big Yankee fan. I had season tickets and all of that. And I remember just depressed. I had just turned down a couple friends that had asked me to go out. At that point, I wasn't even trying to, like, talk to nobody. I was just, I didn't know who I wanted to be with, what the hell I wanted in my life.
Mm.
And my cousin called. And, hey, I just want to see how you were doing, whatever. Hey, I've been meaning to call you, see if you wanted to, you know, hook up, you know, I'm going to do a little barbecue, whatever. And he was like, hey, what you doing right now? You know? And I was like, nothing. I'm just watching the game. He said, hey, I want to show you something, man. He said, you know, Puerto Ricans are in the Bible. I said, yeah. That don't make no sense. He said, go get a Bible. You have a Bible? So I went up. I said, yeah, I got a Bible. He said, is it a KJV? I'm looking. I said, no, it's an NKJV. He said, all right, that's close enough. And boom, man, he started going into it. And next day, man, I called Abiel. Then Abiel, the Black Rhino.
Yeah.
Right? He was my friend from the world. I'd known Abiel like 22, 23 years. Nope.
Okay.
I called him up. I said, bro, you got to come over. We used to call my cousin Conspiracy Theory Guy. I said, bro, you got to come over. He said, what? I said, bro, just come through, right? Abiel's always been like down like that. I said, bro, I got something, bro. It's gonna blow your mind. And he came in after work the next day, whatever. I sat down. I said, boom, 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 this, and though. He said, yo, I always felt like something was this and that, whatever. I said, bro, but this ain't right. I was showing him out of the NKJV. He said, I said, bro, let's go to the bookstore now, bro, and let's just see if we could get the apocrypha or whatever. Well, I remember we
like
went.
That?
They had two apocrypha. Yo, you don't be finding the apocrypha on the show. This is the same apocrypha that I had since then.
Oh,
all right. I you see, I'm not trying to let it go. It's peeling. I put some duct tape on it because the binding was going. All right. It's the same. I'm on a new Bible because the other Bible just started getting real jacked up. But it's the same. They had exactly two apocryphas and exactly two KJVs left that day. We went to Barnes & Noble and Co-op City in the Bronx. Anyway, I say that to say, going back to my point. Read what you had right there.
Hosea
right?
chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
Right. So in their affliction, they'll seek him early. And sometimes it's not that I said, oh, I need God in my life. Right. It came to me in that moment. Now, get me what I asked you in Romans 16.
Romans 16 or 11 to 16?
Romans 16.
And 7. Did you still want wisdom of Solomon?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go there. I can't remember exactly why, but I'll bring it out because I think it has to do with this. But go ahead.
The book of Romans, chapter 16 and verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me.
Right. So a lot of times we read that and we say, oh, they were in Christ before me. They were in Christ before me. You know how many people were in Christ before people and then they left? And they never came back, and they never repented again, right? And so it's not just for the work's sake, right? Because is it in Thessalonians that it talks about that? Where I'm trying to remember where it is. I'm not even going to try to quote it. Where it talks about know them who labor among you, right? And for the work's sake, right? Is it Thessalonians?
I don't know where it's at.
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. The hell? And so far he's using something encrypted. All them who labor among you. Let me get that. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5. It is for Thessalonians. See, I be doubting myself because I'm not good at quoting. So I'm not good at quoting. I'll paraphrase the heck out of the Bible, but I'm not good at quoting. Strong and wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
You said 5 and what?
5 and 12, I think. What's it say? 5 and 12.
Yep, that's it.
Okay,
yep.
Give me that.
The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you.
So, like, this is in Paul, like we read in Romans 16. He said, who are of note. So it's not just that they were in Christ before, it's that they were of note. So the scripture in Thessalonians, Paul's expounding upon that. And he says, know them who labor among you. Read it again.
And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That's it, unless you want verse 13.
No, read on.
And to esteem them very highly in love.
Right, to esteem those. So not just know and recognize who those people are, but esteem them very highly in love. Come on.
For their work's sake.
For their work's sake. Now go back and read Romans 16.
The book of Romans, chapter 16, and verse 7.
Freedom.
Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles.
Why were they of note? Because they were known and they labor amongst the people. Not that they labored at one time.
Right.
Because you have some people that like to rest on their works. This is a what have you done for me lately truth. So not that you labored at one time, you contributed at one time. It's what that you labor, meaning it's actively happening. They labor among you. So when he says they're of note, that means they labor among the brothers, among the sisters. Come on.
Who also were in Christ before me.
And he goes, they also were in Christ before them. So it's not just that they were in Christ before, it's that they labored among them. But the point, now let me bring it back full circle to what you had brought out. And you said, gosh, it blows your mind how those of us who came in so early
and stuck
and the levels of faith that we had to endure in that when we were hungry and thirsty and there was scarcity of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now there is abundance.
Abundance. Like
we have 24 hours IUIC TV. We have spiritual biblical music all over the place. You have 4 classes on the Sabbath day.
Right.
You have classes minimum of 3 times a day, 7 days a week. On all types of forums, on all types of outlets.
You got
The Power Hour's on Spotify and iHeartRadio.
Right.
You got the Watch and Read.
Got the Watch and Read.
Joseph's Dream.
Joseph's Dream
coming.
It's just so y'all know, Joseph's Dream's in like final finishing. It's just VFX and stuff like that. Mm. Like Joseph's Dream's scripted, done, like it's been done. We just working out the stuff in post production now.
Yo, there's abundance of stuff.
Right. And
the website is like,
it's like a
so
buffet.
New.
It's like a buffet. So what you're saying resonates, and that's why I read Romans 16. That's why I read all this other stuff in regards to that. And I think I have my point now in Wisdom of Solomon 9 and what I want. It deals with Hosea, and it deals with where were we with broken and contrite spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
All right. You cannot discount where and how you came. So it's not to say less for people, but there is an honor. And some people would not have repented and maintained had you not had this abundance
at that time
to be fed.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
So the people that came in those times that preceded us, all right, because I have people that came before me, the deacons before me,
mm-hmm.
right, the bishops before me, and it was even less abundance. Yeah, you could say, well, there was still places for you to gather and stuff, but it was not what it was. So the Most High preordained ministers and times in your life where you had conflict and afflictions, and also the prevalence of the word in the time to say, this spirit will be able to endure this and repent and continue in for whatever that set time is, right? It's not forever. I ain't going to sit here and pretend I'm going to endure forever. I pray that's the case, right? Like Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, right? And not every spirit would have been able to be awoken in that time. Now, does that mean that makes them less? No, because Christ talks about those that came at the end, right? And and remember, they were like, I mean, really, that's going into Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, and Northern Kingdom coming in at the end. But talking about that they came later and they still got the same reward,
right?
It's not about who came in, right? Remember when Paul talks about, get me that where he says, run the race as if to obtain. It's not to the swift. It's not to the...
Oh, race is not to the swift. Ecclesiastes?
That's what I want, Ecclesiastes. No, that's the one. And then also give me the one where Paul talks about you should run. We'll read Ecclesiastes first, and then we'll go to that one. Man, I'm not on my topic at all yet. I'm not on my topic at all. The title don't even go with what we going into. Goodness. Oh, my goodness. You found it in Ecclesiastes, or you need me to help
you
look
for it?
Okay.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 11. I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift.
Right. And notice, it's in Ecclesiastes 1 that he talks about there's no new thing under the sun. So it's the same context when you read here in 9 and 11 that he's talking about how everybody's going to walk their walk. And he compares it to a race. All right. But it's not your traditional type of race where you got to finish first or you got to be in first in order to do something. There is something of note for those who came before.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that you won't have mighty people that come after. That would make no sense if you say that, because what if there's 100 more years left? I ain't going to be here in 100 years.
Right.
So other saviors, other leaders need to be waited up. Bishop just went over that. The righteous never die. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain spirits that will come in certain times because they will be able, they are men, fit men for those times.
Right.
They'll be able to repent and be an example to the people during those times.
And you know what? I think about that too, because there's a movie, I think it's dang, I forgot the name of it, but he's like in the future, and then it tells you about like, it pretty much, the movies tell you Esau's mind, and in the future, you know how like Japanese, they have this holograph, these holographs uh-huh. in the city. Uh-huh. Well, now, in the future, flying cars and everything, we're not living like we live today, but the flying cars and everything, and the holographics, prostitution is like normal. So imagine those spirits of today, or weaker spirits, they won't survive that at that time.
Right.
So the spirits after will be able to survive that and
right.
withheld it.
That goes into where it says, except there be a remnant, they'd all be a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
That's also periodic throughout history.
Right.
Right? Because if he sends back a weaker spirit that he knows would succumb to that during a time when he needs strong prophets in the earth,
mm-hmm.
then we'd all be a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
So that remnant is deeper than just it being everybody, especially going into the understanding we've gotten during these past few weeks with these classes about the 24 elders,
mm-hmm.
right? So but there's also other, Bishop Kanai made note of that, there's also other men that are not part of those 24 elders that were also needful and also mighty that helped during certain times,
right?
Right? So
Blade Runner,
Blade
2045.
2040, oh, so that's the new one.
The new one, the
right.
new Blade Runner. Cause, like,
I haven't watched the new one.
Yeah,
because like I feel like I gotta watch the old one again so that I can understand the new one.
Mm. Well,
so I haven't watched.
You
watch
it and you're like, oh wow, like prostitution's crazy, like
mm-hmm.
normal, kind of like with today, but it's like at a larger, crazier scale. Now you
right.
have a robot or a virtual holographic girlfriend that
uh-huh.
you pay for.
You know what else was like
this?
That?
Ultra
Carbon was like that on Netflix.
Yes.
They like the society that they lived in was like that, right?
So it's normal.
Decadence.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's normal at that time, and
mm-hmm.
then the spirits of today won't be able to withheld that stuff. We won't be able to fight against that stuff. And so I see what you're saying about the time and the...
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Right? So read this in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong.
Right, so even though it's of note that people came in early, that people came in at different times, it's not to discredit and say, oh, let me hang my hat on that because I came in when there was not abundance of food,
mm-hmm.
right? And food meaning the word,
mm-hmm.
the availability of it, right? Nobody should say that. It's just that the Most High places things the way he needs it to be placed
mm-hmm.
and when he needs it to be placed, right? That's part of that man's goings of the Lord.
Right.
That scripture is a lot heavier than just, wow, I avoided that car accident if I'd have been 5 minutes earlier. Yeah, that's part of it. But it's a lot more selective when you deal with the regeneration, about the righteous not dying, all of that, right? Come on.
Nor the battle to the strong.
Nor the battle to the strong. This goes into what I'm saying. It's not necessarily because you came in first. It's not necessarily because you came in at a time when you were able to endure certain things. That's just the spirit that the Most High made you, and that's why he brought you forth, woke you up out of that deep slumber during that time period. Come on.
Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding.
Come on.
Nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all.
You see, because there's a time
mm-hmm.
and there's an opportunity
mm-hmm.
where he has your minister and your moment to awaken for all Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say time and chance is given to all Israel, the thing is that none of us know when it's that person's time or chance.
Right.
You could be dealing with a brother or sister at camp, at a flyer mission, on a phone call in passing, a family member, and they may not want to hear the word at that moment. That does not mean that they will not repent. It might not be their time, and that might not have been their chance.
Mm.
So when he says time and chance is given, it's not that it's some randomized thing that would contradict the scriptures like you read in Jeremiah 1 or in Ecclesiastes 1. So he's talking about there's a time and chance for all Israel to repent, very specifically going into what we've been bringing out when it comes into, and like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, there's a minister, right? He says, who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers, right? We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 3 because I want to talk about the part where he says water and planted, but God gives the increase, right?
You want Paul? He pressed
give me
forward?
That. Yes, give me that, and then we'll do 1 Corinthians, and then I'll go to Wisdom of Solomon 9.
All praises. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Right, so he says, look, apprehended meaning understood. He goes, I count not myself to have understood, but I understand this much, that I put the things that are behind and I press forward. Because why? Paul, the lifestyle he was coming out of was of killing his brothers and sisters for Christ's name's sake. And now you got this guy there preaching Christ more fervently,
right,
who wrote most of the books in the New Testament.
Right.
Right. So he says, I count myself to have understood at least this. And we know he understood. He's being humble with himself. Right?
Right.
But he says, one thing I definitely make sure that I hold in my understanding is that those things that were behind, and why? Going into everything that we read, that was there because it was a broken and contrite spirit that was needed for you to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was needed for you to be able to receive the messenger that he sent at that time for you to plant that seed. Right. And when we go back to 1 Corinthians, you're going to see the first person you heard the word from might not have been the person that cultivated you.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Because he says that when he says Paul planted, Apollos water. Right.
Right.
God gives the increase.
Right. But God gives the increase.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning I had exposure all my life to Israelites.
You weren't there.
Living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But never, ever did it dawn on me to do it. There was opportunities where these things came at me, but never, right? And even though my minister, by whom I believed, right, is no longer here, I had other men that I met in the basement,
right?
Some not here anymore, many still,
mm-hmm,
right? Most of us are still here that were in that basement. It's only a handful that are gone. And those were the brothers that helped water me. But the one that sowed that seed was somebody else,
mm-hmm,
right? But that was the one by whom I believed, right? Because that was the one that planted that thing that made an itch in my mind that would not go away.
Right.
Where I said, man, I got to read. I got to study. I got to figure this thing out.
Right.
Right. I remember I kept my first day of atonement by myself. There was no congregation to sit with.
Right.
I wasn't going to no camp. None of that stuff. I remember my first pre-atonement meal.
Hey.
My sister had brought me mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, and a half a roasted chicken.
Mm.
And that's what I ate before my first fast.
That's crazy. Hey, and I just want to say something real quick. For those of, and this is for the haters, that's why we give praise and honor to, like, those that have labored before us, because they've kept the faith. They've been through ups and downs, putting in work for years. So when Bishop Nathaniel comes back, and we haven't seen him in a year, and we're like happy, excited,
right, right,
crying because he came back. It's because he's done things that many of you may have not done.
He's esteemed highly in love for his work's sake, like
for
we
his,
read in 1 Thessalonians
exactly.
5. Yep.
And for you that learned under him, you hater, you damn devil, for you to have learned under him and now attack him, you the damn devil, bro. You Satan. Satan has you in his palm. And that's why, because going back to what I said, like, I think about you guys and how you guys had the basement, no videos, none of this, but I'm like, wow, to where IUIC is now, I'm like, I'll praise it to the Most High. That's a different spirit, and it's I honor that. I give honor to those that have been before me. The scripture tells you.
Right.
So
all praises to the Most High in that. So there's always that predetermined time. There's always that predetermined thing. And then where were we now? I said, do you want me?
1 Corinthians.
Oh, finish this. All right. So read this again. And then we're going to go here.
13 and 14?
Yeah, go ahead.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
So you have to understand the reason why you may have went through all those things that you went through. Those were all ordered by God to get you to. So even though there may be some painful memories, some regretful decisions, he's saying here, don't let them things linger. And that's going to pay into when I read Wisdom 9. Don't let those things linger in your spirit. He said, because this one thing I apprehend. Can you imagine if Paul was kept being distraught about him murdering believing Israelites that believed on Christ?
He wouldn't have done nothing.
He wouldn't have done nothing. He would not have been able to continue to move forward in this walk. So he's saying, I had to let that go. I acknowledge that it was terrible, but I had to realize how powerful and how glorious the mercy in Christ Jesus is that God has given us, that I could move past that to then fulfill what he had in store for me to fulfill. Go ahead, read on.
It's going
to
say in the next verse, I pressed towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Right, and notice he said high calling.
Right.
Because Paul was not so presumptuous at this point. Because if he knew that he was going to make it, he would have never said on his deathbed, I've fought the good fight, I finished my course. That's when he knew.
I have kept the faith.
I have kept the faith. That's when he knew. Meaning at this point, he didn't know yet. He didn't call himself chosen. He called himself called. Because he said it's the high calling. Right? Read that again.
I've pressed towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Right, so he says, I press towards that mark for the prize, meaning eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, for that high calling in Christ Jesus. Come on.
Verse 15.
No, that's not it. That's not it. That wasn't the one I wanted. There's a different one.
1 Corinthians 9.
That's it. But that was good. Look, you were in the spirit because it worked. It went with what I was saying. It was 1 Corinthians 9. 24. Yes. And
24.
Come on. Okay. Go ahead.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize.
Right. So going back to what we read in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11, right, we were in, he says, Solomon talks about it, and he says, it's a race, right? And he talks about it's a race, and it's not to the swift, it's not to the wise, it's not to those, the strong, right? Now, Paul also refers to this walk as a race. Come on. Read it from the top.
Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize.
He says, but one receiveth the prize. He says, so everybody that runs, they're all running in the race. So that goes into the many are called, but few are chosen. Come on.
So run that ye may obtain.
Meaning, make sure you're moving in a manner that you're going to get it. Mm. It's not about finishing first. It's about actually finishing, right? Yeah, and get that ready for me where Paul says, I've finished my course, right? Read on.
Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Because he knew that his calling and election was not sure yet.
Right.
So he says, so in this type of race, your running is that you endure. This is not about who finishes first. I used to do triathlons, right? And I didn't compete in the elite, right? There's a component of triathlons, that most of them are open to the public, even Ironmans and stuff like that. And there's the pros, which they're actually competing for who finishes with the best time, right? So that would be when you finish first, right? But then the rest is by age group and time, meaning it's not about you passing the person on the left or the right. It's just getting your best time in the event. Right?
Your own personal best time. Okay.
And, you know, they'll grade that time and rank you in your age group and stuff like that. You know, so men, whatever, 30 to 40 or whatever it is, and they'll grade you into that. But meaning it's not a race of let me cross the finish line first. It's let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
Let me finish. And, you know, I remember, especially when it comes to endurance, grueling endurance events like that, man, everything that could go wrong when I did my first full-length triathlon went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was gearing towards like a certain, I don't know if I was gearing towards like a 3 or 4 hour time, which would have been good for an amateur, right? These guys finish in like 2.5 hours, these type of things or whatever. And I wound up doing like 5.5 hours or something like that. I got cramps, the water changed on me, jellyfish were biting me in the swim, all types of stuff.
Damn.
But I finished.
Right.
And the satisfaction of, I could have stopped, bro, and I'm talking to myself as I'm going through it. Why am I even doing this? It's not like I'm going to win any money. My legs hurt. I'm cramping. I'm so jacked up that I can't even hold fluids down. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to drink and I couldn't. So why am I even doing this? I'm walking. People are passing me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I finished. And let me tell you, the feeling that you have when you finish, I got a picture somewhere of it. I just don't have it up because I guess somewhere when I moved. And I finished. And it's funny because anybody who knows about it, people who've seen the picture, they're like, wow, that's impressive that you did a triathlon, right? And, you know, I look at it and I know, and I'm like, yeah, but that's a crappy time that's on there, right? Like, you see the time on there like that. That's a crappy time that's on there. But it's not about that. I use that as an example to say it's not that type of race that you had to cross first. Is that all those things where I was contemplating how painful it was, that I should stop, that I should quit, what is there to gain? Paul's saying that's how your walking this is. That's why it says run that you may obtain, right? That incorruptible. And then he says, and the way that I do this, I keep under my body. Right? Meaning when these thoughts come in, when the faith wavers, when all this stuff comes in, he says, I keep that in, I bring it into subjection, lest I by any means, I don't want to turn into somebody that's preached unto you and then I'm cast away.
Right.
That you don't see me there in that time. Right? Get me the other one that I told you to get.
The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought a good fight.
Right? So Paul's saying this here. This is why he says, I press toward the mark for that high calling. Because he didn't know then. Here, when we also read in Corinthians, he didn't know yet. Because he said, this is why I run to obtain, and I keep under my body. So he didn't know yet. Read this again from the top.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course.
He finished the race. He fought a good fight. All those things that came against him that man, and Paul went through, I mean, he talks about if anybody can boast, I can boast.
Right.
Talks about how he was shipwrecked, how he died and was brought back. How many times he was arrested, everything. If anybody had any motivation to fall out this truth, it should have been Paul.
Right.
He says, I didn't. He says, that's why he calls it a fight. Come on.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
He said, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's the type of race that we're running. And you cannot hold on to what it was or how or when, you know, it's nice to think about when you came in. My point why I started talking about this is that it's true what you said, but I wanted to show the spirituality of why people repent at different times, why those type of things happen. And then this leads me to this, because this is the stuff
I see
within ourselves where you'll – before I read this, give me Galatians 5:17 so you can understand before we go into Wisdom 9.
The book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other.
We're all crazy because inside we're all talking to each other. You may not want to admit it. You may not even acknowledge it. But stop for a second and think about how you talk to yourself. You're actually so used to talking to yourself that you don't even realize that you talk to yourself.
Right.
Until somebody says, think about it, you talk to yourself.
Right.
And you're talking to yourself, and within talking to yourself, that means there has to be two parties there.
Mm.
Hey, D.
Yes.
A lot of people talking to themselves as they listen to you telling them to talk to
you. Dave, like, you deep, brother.
Do I really?
You deep, brother. But it's true. So some of you just now, as I said that, just went into your head and said, damn, I do talk to myself. Do I talk to myself?
Right.
Some of you even asked yourself a question.
Mm.
That's talking to yourself. Read this in Galatians 5:17 again.
The book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other.
So you have to realize that when you talk to yourself, that means that it's two. To have a conversation is two.
Right.
That means there's two things inside of you talking to yourself.
Bipolar.
Right? There's two spirits inside of you.
We got spirits.
You have the flesh and you have the spirit.
Right.
Right? And he says they're actually contrary to each other. I've said this before. It's like you see the little the cartoon with like the angel on one shoulder, the devil on the other.
Right.
Right? That's the visual that's there,
and,
right?
And the angel and the little devil, they're still you anyway.
They're still you.
It's not other face. Yeah.
It's you.
Yeah.
It's just two different mindsets of you.
Right.
Right? He says, and these two are contrary one to another. Come on, read on.
So that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Right. This is where Paul was saying, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Meaning the spiritual him would have to keep in subjection the carnal him. So it says they're contrary to that you would not do the things that you do. That's like when he goes into 7, he says, that which I do, I do not. Right.
Yeah.
And all of that. He's talking about that duality, right, that's inside of us, of the spirit and the flesh.
He said, when I would do good, evil is present with
yes,
me.
That's yes. That's the carnal that's there with the spiritual.
As
that's
he's
the flesh.
Doing, yeah.
As he's doing it. Exactly. Come on.
You want 17?
Yeah.
We just finished it again?
Read the whole thing again.
The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
Right, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. Meaning, that goes both ways. Mm-hmm. That if you're trying to be right, okay, unless you have some strength to bring it under your body and bring it into subjection, then the carnal will win out. Right. And then the carnal then is also trying to do something as well. Right. But all in all, when you read about this, I'm sorry. No, before I go to Wisdom 9, I wanted the rest of 1 Corinthians 3.
Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 4.
Start at verse 4 first.
For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul?
So he said, look, when you start looking at it that way, oh, well, Paul taught me. Oh, well, I learned from this. I learned from that elder. I learned from this. This is my teachers.
Mm.
He says you're dealing carnally, just like we read in Galatians 5:17, spirit and flesh. Come on.
Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe?
He said, listen, yes, remember, he's not saying discount any of these brothers. We read in Romans 16 about for their work's sake, esteeming them highly because they were in Christ before. We read in Thessalonians about esteeming them highly in love because of that. But what he's saying is that none of that really matters in the bigger scheme of things as to who taught you, right? He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe? These preordained that God put in front of you, that this was going to be the person that was going to drop that seed in your mind. Mm. Come on.
Even as the Lord gave to every man.
Right? Even as the Lord gave to every man. Even as the Lord, meaning God, gave every one of us a specific minister. Come on.
I have planted, Apollos watered. But God gave the increase.
He says, so it don't matter. I planted, Apollos watered. It's God that opened up your understanding. You can't be here overthinking these things sometimes. It's nice to reflect on this and see how it's spiritual, see how your calling was preordained, right? But not if you're chosen, right? That's different, okay? So read on.
Verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase.
So he's saying again, in the bigger scheme of things, it don't matter. Remember, he said, I have planted and Apollos watered. So he's saying, I'm nothing. He says, and neither is Apollos. Right? Come on.
Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one.
They serve the same purpose. God planted it in them to do his will, the same will. You know, I says you can't do anything against the truth before it, right? Come on, read.
And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Right. So meaning none of that matters because it's all towards whatever God's will is. So now let me go to Wisdom 9 about the things that press us down in our mind.
Hey, and when you read about Apollos, he was teaching bold. If Paul was teaching strong, and Paul was a good teacher. They were saying Apollos was, like, as eloquent.
Well, you read that Apollos was eloquent. I think he was a lawyer, right?
Something
so that means he was, like, you know, one of those college speaking,
right?
There's another scripture you put out that you were trying to talk about me, but it talks about eloquent speakers and stuff like that. I think it's in the Apocrypha, too.
No, it's Isaiah.
Is it Isaiah that it says that?
I sent it to you. I said, hey, this all.
Yeah, I think it came out during Bishop Nathaniel's class, so I thought of you again when you said it, right, when you said it. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon 9, and let's start.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 9 and verse 13.
Right, so at the end of the day, we get these little snippets from the prophets, from our forefathers. To help us kind of understand a little bit God's will, right? But we understand it's in Isaiah, right, where it says, my thoughts are higher, my ways are higher, my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? This kind of goes with that as well when we read this in Wisdom of Solomon 9. Come on.
For what man is he that can know the counsel of God?
At the end of the day, man, we sit here and you be like, oh, God did this because of this. And God did that because of that. He says, what man is there that can know the counsel of God? Come on.
Or who can think what the will of the Lord is?
Yes, and you can presume. He says, but who is it that can really think what the will of the Lord is? Come on.
For the thoughts of mortal men are miserable. And our devices are but uncertain.
So he says, our thoughts are miserable. When he says of mortal men, that goes into the carnal. He goes, we'll think the worst. You'll make yourself believe whatever. Like, you'll convince yourself of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, That's why it says don't extol yourself in the counsel of your own mind,
right?
Because it'll press you down, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll change your understanding. So he says for the thoughts of mortal men are miserable and are devices but uncertain. Meaning anything where we presume to try to figure out certain aspects of things,
mm-hmm.
right? He goes, it's never going to be with certainty. Come on.
For the corruptible body presseth down the soul.
Right. That goes into what we read in Galatians 5:17. The corruptible body presseth down the soul, right? So that these two are contrary, so that you would not do what you want to do. Come on.
And the earthly tabernacle weigheth down the mind that museth upon many things.
Right. So he says the earthly tabernacle, this where our soul resides. All right. He says that earthly tabernacle, it weighs down the mind. Because the mind museth upon many things, meaning we're always constantly, oh, why did they do this? Why did that sister do that? Why did that brother say this? So on and so forth. It put us in a frame of mind where you're just musing on many things. And what does that do? That ultimately is going to hinder you in your walk.
That's when you start with the same Proverbs 3 about trusting in your own counsel, like leaning on your own understanding, right?
Yes, in Proverbs 3 and 5, right? Lean not on your own understanding, right?
Right.
Trust in the Lord thy God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because it's corrupt. Remember, that's also a mark where he says, for what proceeded from within a man,
right?
So he says, and the earthly tabernacle weighs down the mind that museth upon many things. Come on.
Verse 16, and hardly do we guess aright at things that are upon earth.
And you know, see what he says? He says, and you do all that. You jack yourself all up, he says, and hardly, meaning almost never. But it does mean sometimes, because sometimes in the spirit, you might be right about something.
Right.
In the spirit, though. But he says, carnally, you hardly guess aright at things that are upon the earth, because you're trying to know the mind of God.
Right.
Who can know the mind of God? Well, who can counsel him?
Damn.
Right?
Right. Damn.
So he says, and hardly do we guess aright at things that are upon the earth. So it doesn't mean always.
Mm.
It means once in a while, if you're in the spirit, you might get, but at the end of the day, it's a guess.
Right.
He says, not even like an educated decision. It's not you didn't deduce it, right? He says, you hardly do you guess aright at things that are upon the earth. So you weigh yourself down. You're thinking, you're overthinking stuff. You don't get it right. Come on, read.
And with labor do we find the things that are before us.
And he says, and with labor do you find the things that are before you, because you're making it harder instead of letting God lead you. Come on.
But the things that are in heaven, who have searched out?
He says, listen, you got to understand something. Going back to all this stuff we read, talking about that every man had a minister, every person had a time, he foreknew, he predestinated, all this stuff. He goes, that stuff comes from counsel in heaven.
Mm.
He goes, who, you, mortal man, have searched out what that counsel? You weren't in that meeting.
Right.
You ain't got nobody that was in that meeting.
Right.
You know, somebody be like, hey, I got somebody on the inside.
Yeah, they're going to tell us that.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I got somebody that's in the military. They said, get ready. This is going to be locked down when COVID was happening.
Right, right.
All them stuff was, that thing even infected the levels of the captains. Hey, there's a brother in our congregation and blah, blah, blah. And they said they got the insight. And hardly were those things ever right.
Right.
Oh, this is coming. That's coming. Oh, there's going to be blackouts. There's going to be this.
EMP,
there's going to be that.
The EMP.
Yeah, there's going to be the EMP. This, that, and the other. He says, listen, man, from the individual to how it affects everybody, he says, the things that are in heaven, who have searched them out? Come on.
And thy counsel, who have known. Except thou give wisdom.
If you guess aright, it's because God revealed it to you. Come on.
And send thy Holy Spirit from above.
And it has to come based on this, right? Remember, it talks about, I will send you a comforter who will teach you all things.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is found in this Bible. And when you go outside of that by any measure, it's not. It's just all musings. Weighing down the earthly tabernacle, weighing down the mind. Come on.
For so the ways of them which lived on the earth were reformed, and men were taught the things that are pleasing unto thee, and were saved through wisdom.
Right, so really we need to be focusing on what God requires of us so that we can reform our minds and be transformed, right? Like you read in Romans 12, by the renewing of your mind, right? Let's read that real quick, Romans 12:2, because that's what that's going into.
all praises. And this has been your Cinco de Mayo radio show.
I don't even know if I got the ganas now to do Cinco de Mayo. I went somewhere else.
And this has been your history of Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, man. Go ahead. Romans 12 and 2. I know you were ready being Issachar. He said, I want to talk about Cinco. Romans 12 and 2. Well, we got time. We'll have like 45 minutes. Go ahead.
The book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Same thing when he says, so them in the earth will reform by the wisdom of what God desired, right? So he says, so don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing, reformed, same thing, right? Come on.
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Right, because he says we hardly guess aright about who knows that counsel that's in heaven.
Right.
So he says the only way that you can get closer to that, so that on the occasion that you do get it right, okay, is that you have to not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and by doing so, you may then prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right? Okay.
All righty.
Y'all got anything? I saw y'all.
I have one.
Go ahead. Bring
get,
it out.
Good job, real quick.
Before we transition to the actual topic. I wonder if I'm ever going to talk about this Native American thing that happened. We're going to talk about Cinco de Mayo next, Lord's will.
St. John 4 and 38. And this is just to go back to what you were saying about on other men's labors and the work that they've done.
Right.
The book of John, chapter 4, verse 38. I sent you to reap that whereon bestowed.
Whereon ye bestowed.
Whereon ye bestowed, not labored.
So read it one more time.
I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed, no labor.
So we were sent by Christ to be able to reap. We're reaping the benefits of all of these. Like he said, we have a buffet of classes in front of us. We have all of these tools, resources. We were sent by Christ into these different benefits to be able to reap the benefits of other men's labor. We didn't labor to put these things together. Read.
Other men labored.
Right.
And ye are entered into their labors.
Other men labor to provide this for us, and we entered into their labors. So it's our job to continue to build and to labor for others as well. We labor not for ourselves only, but for those that seek learning.
Hey, the baton was passed on to us.
Right,
and
right.
It's being passed on. It's not yet passed on to us. It's being passed on to us. That we're being trained up to take it from our leadership to those before us or above us in rank, and then later us on, and then those to come also.
Let me get Ephesians 2 for what you just said. Let me see where I want to start.
You want verse 8 and 9?
No. Hold on.
You hardly, hardly guess all right, brother. If it's not sent from above, you know, the Holy Ghost, you hardly guess all right.
Let's just start at 19. I won't get too deep.
Wait on your ministry.
Let's start at Ephesians 2:19.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 19.
Might be a lava. Wait on your ministry, brother. Wait on your ministry.
Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
And this does not mean all nations, because read verse 11. Come on.
Verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh.
Right, so meaning he's talking to Israelites. He said, ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. Actually, go to Ephesians 1 and 1 so we know who he's writing this letter to. Come on.
Book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the in Jesus Christ.
Right, so some will say faithful in Christ Jesus, but we know according to Acts who he was for, right? That he came for Israel, for to give repentance to Israel, okay? And the saints is talking about Israel as well, okay? You read that in Psalms, all right? Who the saints are. Now, verse 11. 2 and 11, come on.
Ephesians 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh.
That you Israelites, having been Gentiles in the flesh in times past, meaning living as Gentiles, identifying as Gentiles, not identifying as Israelites. Come on.
who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand.
Right, another name that was – oh, those are the uncircumcised, meaning there was an acknowledgement that the we were Israelites, but we just were not keeping the laws. All right, now jump down to where we were.
Verse 19.
Uh-huh.
Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners.
No more are you Gentiles in the flesh. No more are you strangers and foreigners. Because why? Teachers have come unto you. Ministers, by whom you believe, came unto you and planted and watered and said unto you, hey, you're an Israelite of this tribe, of that tribe. Come on.
But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
Come on.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Because we're talking about passing the baton and just following after those things. And he says, and guess what you are built upon? You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. It's the same cycle over and over. There's no new things that were taught unto us.
Mm.
We followed the program. We followed the game plan, right? Starting with Christ. That's what I jumped through in the middle. Starting with Christ. Christ gave, because Christ is that chief cornerstone. Mm-hmm. Then you have the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Come on.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Right, and that chief cornerstone, I think I did a class here one time about mm-hmm. that. I gave a visual for it. And that chief cornerstone is, it has to be placed when you build the foundation, and it bears the load of the whole foundation.
Right.
And if that's not placed correctly, then it don't matter how strong the rest of the foundation is, that chief cornerstone not set up correctly is going to collapse, right? You cannot continue to build upon that. So going into what you were saying with passing the baton and all that stuff, it says it started with Christ, the prophets and the apostles after it, and then those of us doing that same thing. Come on, read.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord.
Right, so one planted, one watered. He says, and the foundation starts with Christ, the apostles and prophets, and he says, and all that building, as you continue to build up that most holy temple, that most holy city, which is Israel, the Israelites, he says, it's fitly framed together. Meaning you didn't try to jimmy rig something. You know, sometimes you get like the together furniture like IKEA or like from Target or Walmart, right?
Yeah, right.
And like the little pre-drilled hole don't line up right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to like, you know, damn, maybe I got to drill another hole or something like
make
that.
It work, make
right,
it work.
Make it work,
yeah.
Right? And then the whole thing is just unstable. It's not
yeah,
the best.
Yeah.
It's like the cheap press wood. No, we ain't doing it like that. It's going to be that perfection. It's going to be like when you cut that little piece of tile and it just fits just right.
Right.
You cut that little piece of wood and you slide that thing right in and it fits all perfect. The whole thing that you're building is stable.
You find that perfect last piece to the puzzle and
right.
Now you have the beautiful picture.
And now you have the beautiful picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's being done as we teach, as we plant, as we water,
hey.
As that baton is passed along. Wait, finish that. Frame together. Come on.
In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord.
Read on. Why? So it's not just that you build the building up in our identity. You have to be a holy temple. It's a nation of kings and priests, meaning what? Keeping the commandments in righteousness. Keep therefore and do them, like you read in Deuteronomy, for this is your wisdom in the sight of the nations. Come on.
In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Ah, you see that? As we're all, so he's letting you know that it's a metaphor, it's a similitude here. He says we are all built up in that same thing, the foundation of the apostles, of Christ, and the prophets, and we're all built into that holy habitation of God, right? So that we build it, and the habitation what? Says this is where God resides.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Israel is my dwelling place.
God.
That's what that's going into.
All
right.
Praises.
Are you going to ask that?
Well, no, but I was going
to say, you're not in the audience. You're on the show.
Right. No. I was like, okay. I was thinking about that. No, but the Philly frame together, it was. I was going to take it full back to where what you said. It's certain spirits come in at certain times, and they're there fitly frame at that certain time because they're needed at that time.
When you start a project, you have to start with the foundation, the concrete. Then you have to add in the different areas. You know what I mean? You put in windows. Like, so you think about it. The Most High started this program. He knew that Bishop Nathaniel needed to come when he did. And then along with all of the other leadership that's come afterwards.
Keep talking. I'm looking at something.
Think
about that today. You guys, I don't know. We can't have dead space. When you see me looking for something, you guys got to talk.
Get a, where's it at?
You got
Get a St. John 3 and verse 6.
Okay, keep on talking.
Because we're talking about a man's goings are the Lord. We're talking about when men have come in, the labors that they put forth. But it talks about earlier that God's laboring amongst, he's laboring with us. Go to read St. John 3 and verse 6.
The book of St. John, chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Right.
And that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
So right now, we're being born again as we continue to take in the spirit. We were talking about that earlier, Reed.
Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again.
So that's that continual process of renewing our mind, Reed.
The wind bloweth where it listeth.
So the wind's going to blow where it wants to go, Reed.
And thou hearest the sound thereof.
And you can hear the sound of the wind when it's blowing, Reed.
But canst not tell it, I'm sorry, but canst not tell whence it cometh.
But you can't tell where the wind's coming from, where it's going, Reed.
And whether it goeth.
Or where it's going, Reed.
So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
So it's the same with everyone that's born of the Spirit. You don't, a man's goings are at the Lord. Mm-hmm. So where we go, I mean, that's based on how the Lord sees fit for you to be framed together in that building.
Mm-hmm. All praise. You still got what you want?
No, I'm still looking.
Okay. Give me 1 Corinthians 3. Going back to the habitation so that the Lord can dwell within us.
You want 3 and verse
16.
Okay.
Because we bring this every time at camp for brothers and sisters out there smoking weed.
You
want to
start at 14?
We can. But so we bring this out every time for when we go out there for teaching, hey, don't stop smoking weed, stop smoking cigarettes,
right.
Or are people doing drugs? But now we see it at a different angle now, and Deacon Yasha is bringing it out into a different light. We need to be a holy people so that the Lord can dwell within us. Go ahead.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 14. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Mm-hmm.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?
You got something for 14 and 15?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Read it one more time.
If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
So we were reading it earlier about entering into other men's labors. You see that these men have labored for these years. That's their work that they're, and we're building upon the same thing. Read.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss.
So you see men's work will be burnt up because it's going to be tried by fire.
Mm-hmm.
It says if any man's work shall be burned, that man's going to suffer loss because he built something that wasn't able to withstand the fire that it got tried through. Read.
But he himself shall be saved.
He'll be saved because he has the opportunity to examine and learn from it to continue to build properly. Read.
Yet so as by fire.
But he's going to have to go through that fire to be purified. Read.
Now, no, oh, you...
You want me to...
Go ahead.
For you. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?
Come on.
And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Come on.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
And we bring that out all the time, right? You defile your temple when you smoke, you drink. But also, too, not being in the spirit, not being amongst the body. God can't dwell in you. So all praise to the Most High that the deacon's bringing out this understanding. We got to be a holy nation. We got to be a holy people individually and as a body so God can dwell within us.
Right. So I'll go back to Ephesians 2. I was looking for a couple of precepts to reinforce what I said in last 21 and 22.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 21.
21, yep.
Verse 21, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Right, so we were talking about the foundation and passing the baton. Let's get Ezekiel 37 and 27, all right? Same thing, come on.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37 and verse 27. My tabernacle also shall be with them.
Right. So when he's saying here, he says, a holy temple unto the Lord in whom you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Obviously, he ain't going to come down and live in your house. It says through the Spirit, meaning where does he dwell?
Israel is my firstborn. So when you read this, he's saying my tabernacle. That's going. That's another way to say the habitation. Come on, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Come on.
Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Because he's only our God, the God of the Israelites. He says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come on, read.
And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel.
That's like when you read Wisdom of Solomon 5, when it says they'll look and they say, how are they numbered among the saints?
Right.
Now, that includes the heathen, and also that includes those of Israel, those scoffers,
mm-hmm.
those of our own people that would never believe. Come on.
When my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forever.
Right, where the sanctuary be is in the midst of them forever. Let me get 1 Corinthians 3. We were reading that earlier. And read verse 9.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God.
Right, so again, going into the built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Christ. Come on. He says, we are laborers together with God. Come on.
Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
Ye are God's building. So when he says you'll be a habitation for him, he says we are God's building. Husbandry is going into farming, right? Because the other thing it talks about, he was just saying above it, I planted and Apollos watered, right? Read on.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder.
We are all to be builders by the grace of God that's given to us according to whatever measure, whatever role we play, right? Remember, it talks about different administrations, right?
Right.
So different governments, so on and so forth. He says, as a wise master builder. Come on.
I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon.
Again, giving you that same analogy. Some of us lay a foundation and another build on. Come on.
But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Ah, but make sure that you're not trying to fit something in. You're not trying to put the square peg in the round hole. Right?
Right.
Make sure that you're building it upon the foundation that is in Christ. He says that. Read on.
For other foundation can no man lay. Then that is late.
Because you may try, and you'll try to corrupt it, and you'll try to do your own thing, and you'll try to make something fit in the building of that foundation that won't fit, like water baptism,
right.
Like daytime Sabbath, mm-hmm. like you don't got to keep holy days, like you can eat whatever for the Passover meal, trying to exclude who certain tribes are of the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
He says all those things will fail. Read verse 11 again.
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right, which is Jesus Christ, which is Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone. At the end of the day, we're all building upon that foundation, right? That's when you read where he says, I am Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's the famous Catholic scripture to justify popes. And they say that means Peter was the first pope. Bishop also went over that, last Sabbath.
Yep.
And he was saying when you read above it, he was talking about that meaning this is Christ. This is the Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that's going to go ahead and redeem his people from their sins. Give me to Matthew 1:21. Read on.
Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble.
Right, meaning everybody. Some are going to – everybody's going to do something saying that they're doing it in Christ's name. Remember when he said there will be many that will say you did so many works in your name, yeah. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you,
right?
You have that. You have all varieties of that now, from different Christian denominations to even BHI groups, right? Mm-hmm. With different doctrines and different ways they want to set things up. And he compares those different buildings to you have gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, mm-hmm. right? Letting you know, right? One of these things is not like the other, right?
Yeah.
Gold, silver, precious stones, right? And then wood, hay, stubble. Read on.
Every man's work shall be made manifest.
Every man's work. This is what he means when he says, for no other foundation can be laid that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Come on.
For the day shall declare it.
Meaning in that day, in that time, that goes back to Wisdom of Solomon 5, you're going to see who built correctly and who didn't. Come on. Who built on Christ and who didn't. Come on.
Because it shall be revealed by fire.
Why? Thermonuclear destruction.
Mm.
That's when he says you're going to see two in the field and one will be taken, another not. Right? Come on.
And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
And that fire, right, is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. Come on.
If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Right, meaning if he built it based on the foundation of Christ and the apostles and the prophets, you're going to see that that building will stand. Mm. You're going to see who is going to wind up making it and who is not. Come on.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Right. I'm not, well, that gets a little, I'm not going to get into that. That gets into something else.
Bring it out.
No. That's too much, because that goes into this is something that I recently got expounded upon, like maybe last year. But I'm not going to bring that part out. Go ahead. You guys got something else? Did you have more? Did I cut you? Did you have more that you wanted to go into?
No, I don't.
I don't.
We're waiting for the new breakdown of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14.
Oh, gosh. It's not new. It's just an expounded upon one.
Okay.
It goes with that other one that I told you about. One will be taken and one not. It's not exactly how we always thought about it. But that's all I'll say.
If any man's work abide with cheating, no,
it's not exactly how we've always thought about it. All right, so Cinco de Mayo tomorrow, right? We gotta talk about it. I did a show on this last year.
Friday tomorrow. Wow. No, it's not. I'm all jacked up. I thought yesterday was Thursday.
Wow. No, it's Thirsty Thursday. Isn't that what they say? They call it Thirsty Thursday.
Jueves Bebes.
Is that?
Yes, bro.
That is the correct thing? Jueves Bebes?
Jueves Bebes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the same thing in Spanish. I mean, it is. Thirsty Thursday. Thirsty
Thursday.
That's how you say it? Right? Jueves Bebes?
Jueves is Thursday. Bebes is drink.
Well, that's when it starts, right? But anyway, Cinco de Mayo. We're going to go a little bit over this, right? And I know most of Israel don't. Like, I get it, right? Israel don't really celebrate the stuff when you're in repentance and stuff.
No, I didn't.
But there might be some of our people that are out there, right?
Yeah. It's not that I celebrate. It was like, to celebrate and say, hey, happy 5th of May and things, Cinco de Mayo, it wasn't like that. It was just an excuse to drink and to party. That's really all it was.
Well, exactly. Well, I'm glad you said that.
It wasn't no, like...
That means you being Issachar weren't even celebrating it for supposedly what it represents.
There
really.
Was parties downtown. There was music festivals and stuff, but it wasn't like...
Cinco de Mayo's cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
Look that up, cultural appropriation.
Like, I need the sense.
Look up cultural appropriation. Hey, I don't know...
Let me ask
you... We might have to change the title of the show after the fact, because it's not the modern oppression of Gad. So, producer, you might have to come up with like a different title.
Yeah.
You can still leave the Cinco de Mayo deception because we're talking about it now. We're going to finish with that. But you might have to definitely talk about the modern approach. Get creative with what we went over for the first, like, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And change the title. Cultural appropriation.
Right. Zoom it in a little?
Yeah, because my thing is fuzzy.
You
okay.
Want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead. You can read it.
What is cultural appropriation? Cultural appropriation takes place when members of a majority group adopt cultural elements of a minority group in an exploitative, disrespectful, or stereotypical way. To fully understand its consequences, though, we need to make sure we have a working definition of culture itself.
Right. So cultural appropriation has all types of levels to it, right? So I'll give you one that's like real basic. So when you see all these Edomites trying to, not that it's good, right? I mean, I think Deacon Malachi did the class where he says black culture equals death, or like what we call black culture
right.
is deaf culture, right? You know, where all these Edomites try to dress and act and talk like us and stuff like that. That's cultural appropriation, right?
Also, like this hippie right here that has lux or
that
dreads?
Has dress. That has dreads. That was going to be the next one that I was going to say, right?
In
like that's indicative usually of our people, and she's here doing like yoga or whatever, or Buddha stuff, Buddhism, and she's talking about cultural appropriation, all right?
Mm.
So with that being said, Cinco de Mayo is the biggest cultural appropriation because we're going to briefly review what it's really about and how it's actually celebrated here. So go back to definition. We're not done yet. Put it back. Because notice it says when members of a majority group here in the United States, all these Edomites primarily, all right, adopt cultural elements of a minority group, right, because they would consider so-called Mexican
black
minority,
and brown communities.
Right. And they exploit it disrespectful or stereotypical ways. And you'll see it's very stereotypical type of thing. That picture in the bottom right. Click
right,
on that picture.
Right, right there, those
right.
$5 Indians, so-called.
Right.
Or
Madonna. She's Italian. She's over here dressing like a Gadite.
Damn.
cultural appropriation.
Wow.
Okay. Go back. Cinco de Mayo. Okay. Cinco de Mayo is a yearly celebration held on May 5th, which commemorates the anniversary of Mexico's victory over the French Empire at the Battle of Puebla in 1862. All right? This is what Cinco de Mayo is, okay? That's what Cinco de Mayo is about.
And it's not the independence of Mexico. That's the thing. They confuse it with the independence of Mexico. No, it's the independence of Mexico is not till September something.
Yeah, something
even
like 1865 or something like that.
It's like September 9th or September something, but it's not. So they say, oh, here's your Independence Day. No, it's not that.
Yeah.
It's just it's a battle won.
Yep. So it says, led by General Ignacio Zaragoza, the victory of a smaller, poorly equipped Mexican force against a larger and better armed French army was a morale boost for the Mexicans. All right. So that's the real definition of it. Let's jump down to the next paragraph.
Popular in the United States than in Mexico.
it was a commemoration of a victory over the French by the Mexicans. Right? But it says more popular in the United States than in Mexico. Cinco de Mayo has become associated with the celebration of Mexican-American culture. And even that's
hell
BS.
No.
Hell no. Nah. Exactly right. It's not about Mexican-American culture. Celebrations began in California, where they have been observed annually since 1863. The day gained nationwide popularity beyond those of Mexican-American heritage. In the 1980s, due to advertising campaigns by beer, wine, and tequila companies.
What they call a Cinco de Drinko.
Today, Cinco de Mayo generates beer sales on par with the Super Bowl.
Damn.
In Mexico, the commemoration of the battle continues to be mostly ceremonial, such as through military parades or battle reenactments. But Cinco de Mayo, so remember when it said cultural appropriation is in stereotypical or disrespectful ways?
Mm-hmm.
It's about drinking.
That's exactly what
That's it
is.
It.
They turned it into another holiday where they can make money, and they started advertising beer, wine, and tequila.
Jueves bebes.
Jueves bebes. Go to the one where I think it says, I don't know if it's seven things or there's another one, some things you don't know about.
It's right there, seven things. Yep.
No, it's not the history one. No, that's not it. It's another one. It's the one from Insider, I think. It's an Insider article.
Huh.
Nine, okay. Nine reasons celebrating Cinco de Mayo in the U.S.
is the worst.
Is the worst.
Wow.
Is the worst.
Oh, so that's a cultural inappropriation right there. The
yes.
Hats and
that's
stuff.
Cultural appropriations, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Appropriation, not inappropriation.
No, right. It's cultural appropriation,
hey,
which is inappropriate. Go ahead.
For those who may have a lack of understanding of cultural appropriation, culture vulture is another way of saying that.
Culture vulture, that's another way to say it, right. But the point is, it's not that they're just trying to be like us. It's done in a stereotypical or disrespectful way,
right?
Right? Cinco de Mayo is one of those. They took a holiday that's supposed to commemorate a victory, right, over the French in a battle, and they turned it into a drinking, booze fest, eating tacos type of thing.
Tacos.
Yes.
I'm going to go get me some tacos tomorrow.
Well, tacos are good anytime. But,
they are.
Right? So it says, many in the U.S. use Cinco de Mayo as an excuse to guzzle their fave Mexican alcoholic beverages. But Mexican people don't really celebrate the day, unless you're Mexican-American, right? Then
right.
You just use it as an excuce to drink. What did you say they called it, Officer Device?
Cinco de Drinko.
Cinco de Drinko.
Yeah.
But Mexican people don't really celebrate the day. It's not the Mexican version of 4th of July, because that's what they'll try to say.
Mm-hmm.
The Mexican food Americans eat is hardly authentic, and the sombreros are racist. All right? Keep going. Keep going.
Hey, that's why I don't go to Filiberto's no more, bro. That thing is... That's...
Filiberto's is salty, bro.
I don't like it no more.
Someone read.
This year, millions of Americans will spill out of their favorite Mexican bars and restaurants after consuming as many margaritas as humanly possible in honor of Cinco de Mayo.
So it's about beer. It's about margaritas. Look, someone said, yeah, buy one, get one free margaritas, right? That's what they're going to go into. Come on.
But other than using the day as an excuse to guzzle their favorite Mexican alcoholic beverages, most people have no idea what they're celebrating. In fact, if they knew the real story of Cinco de Mayo and how little Mexican people actually celebrate it, they might think twice before taking that shot.
No, they won't. They won't think twice before taking the shot. Go ahead.
Keep reading to find out how May 5th became synonymous with tacos and tequila and why it's just plain annoying in the U.S.
Come on.
Cinco de Mayo is not a Mexican 4th of July, but many Americans don't know that. In the U.S., many people confuse Cinco de Mayo with Mexican Independence Day. The day actually commemorates a Mexican victory over French troops in the Battle of Puebla.
All right, we just read that in Wikipedia, so we know that, right? Come on.
Mexican independence happened 50 years earlier and is observed on September 16th. The fact that so many Americans don't understand that fact makes the holiday all the more grating in America. Its history isn't the happiest, which makes the American celebration seem out of touch.
Come on.
The Battle of Puebla was instigated by France, which was picking a fight with Mexico over unpaid debts. Back in 1861, the struggling Mexican government was forced to default on loan payments to France. As a result, France decided to invade the country and establish a monarchy.
Oh, you didn't pay us? Okay, we're going to come in and we're going to establish a monarchy. Meaning, this is ours now, and this is our kingdom.
It sounds like Edom.
It sounds like Edom, right? Mm-hmm. Come on.
On their way to Mexico City, the French troops were stopped by Mexican forces in the town of Puebla. And on May 5th, 1862, the Mexican army, led by General Ignacio Zaragoza, defeated the French forces, led by Napoleon III. Though Mexico declared a victory at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, the French went on to win the Franco-Mexican War and occupied the area for the next 5 years until Austrian Archduke Ferdinand Maximilian was overthrown as emperor. Though the battle was seen as a great victory for Mexico, it's not exactly an occasion that should be celebrated with tequila shots.
Right. So it's real disrespectful. It's been, not only has it been appropriated, it's done in a disrespectful way. They're not celebrating. You know they're not going to celebrate a victory by Mexicans over white people.
Right.
That thing ain't going to happen. That right. stuff is not going to go that route.
And be go majorly ahead. Publicized.
You're right, and be majorly publicized.
What you got?
Yeah. I was going to do Habakkuk 2 and 5.
I got Micah 2 and 2.
Go ahead.
All right. Hey, you know how we read how France wanted to come in and take and build a monarch and pretty much take over?
Uh-huh.
So then now Esau, in this modern time, they celebrate it, and it's just another occasion to drink and mm-hmm. to party. Give me Micah 2 and
the
2.
The book of Micah, chapter.
That history about the French wanting to overtake it, and then this time Esau, or United States, just an excuse to party, it's going to sum it up in this one scripture. Come on.
The book of Micah, chapter 2 and verse 2. And they covet fields and take them by violence.
And that's what we were reading.
Right.
The French war, the French coming in and wanting to overtake the land because they were under payments, under loans. Mexico was under loans under the French. They wanted to, they coveted the field. They said, hey, we're going to overtake it. And they were doing it by violence, by war. Go ahead.
And houses and take them away.
So now in this time, go ahead.
So they oppress a man and his house, mm-hmm. even a man and his heritage.
And now, because of this battle that was made and was won, now it's like, okay, y'all had it rough and y'all were battling to so you won't lose your land and your heritage. Well, now we're going to oppress you and your heritage, and now we're going to drink and celebrate it. So now this is the what we just read in one verse.
Right, right. And also, let me get Habakkuk 2 and 5, right? Goes with what you just brought out of Micah also.
The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 5. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home.
Right, right, look at him. They all over it. France is on the other side of the damn planet,
mm-hmm.
and they over here talking about, we going to come and fight you here and set up a monarchy over some forced debts. I'm sure that was like some shady practice from when they conquered us during the earlier times, right? Come on.
Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell.
Right, meaning what? He coveted fields and he taketh them. He enlargeth his desire. What he really wanted was Mexico. Come on.
And is as death.
Why? Because they come with death and destruction. They come with their own doctrines. They come with their own lies as well. Come on.
And cannot be satisfied.
None of that stuff. They never satisfied, right? Come on.
but gathered unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people.
Right, so and so what did they do? Okay, this is our monarchy now. Gather unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. This is New France.
Right.
Ridiculous. Let's go back to the article. Go ahead.
In fact, its history has a lot to do with the American Civil War, which makes our celebrations all the more tone deaf. Napoleon III saw the Battle of Puebla as an opportunity to conquer a key Mexican entry point to the U.S.
And I think the reason, because you posted the links from when we did the show last year,
right.
The reason we went into the Monroe Doctrine is because it dealt with this aspect of it, right? So France actually, remember, says he enlarges his desire as hell, even if it's against their own people, right? Their war against each other to do that. That's how you had the Greco-Roman times and all of that. And he says they wanted Mexico. So meaning even if they would have paid the debts, they probably would have found some reason to try to get over here because they wanted it as a key entry point to the U.S. Come on.
In addition to taking over Mexico City, Napoleon III wanted French troops to help the Confederate Army during the Civil War in an effort to keep the U.S. divided and vulnerable.
So you see true intentions there, right? Come on.
Plus, Cinco de Mayo isn't really a big deal in Mexico.
So now you get a little more understanding of what Cinco de Mayo really represents and how people making it a holiday to booze out and just mockingly celebrate. They think they're celebrating Mexican culture,
right.
And it's not. It's cultural appropriation, which is stereotypical and disrespectful. Come on.
In Mexico, Cinco de Mayo isn't a federal holiday, which means businesses, including banks and stores, are open. In fact, outside the town of Puebla, the day isn't widely celebrated in the country, making this more of an American holiday anyway.
Exactly. Come on. So basically, Cinco de Mayo is not a Mexican holiday the way it's celebrated here. You got to think about it. With this place, and especially during the last, maybe 5 to 10 years, the sentiment towards Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
celebrating Mexican culture on Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
That's BS. It's mockery.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a Schwarzer Pete with Black Pete in the Netherlands.
Okay. I was going to say. Right.
Right.
Blackface?
Yeah. It's the blackface. It's the same type of sentiment behind it. Come on.
What started as a day to celebrate cultural pride turned into a business
Remember what we read. It said during the 1980s, beer, tequila, alcohol company started advertising it, and it became what you see today. Come on.
In the 1960s, Mexican activists saw the celebration of Cinco de Mayo as a way to honor their culture. But in the 1970s and the 1980s, things began to change. Manufacturers, particularly producers of alcoholic beverages, saw a way to capitalize on the holiday by marketing products to Latino customers, and it paid off in a major way. Cinco de Mayo means big business for the hospitality and spirits industries. According to the Distilled Spirits Council, margaritas made up 27% of cocktail sales in all of 2011 and 2012. Those sales nearly doubled on Cinco de Mayo, making up 42% of sales on the holiday.
That's crazy. So margaritas are a popular drink in the U.S., right? But then on Cinco de Mayo, the sales that day almost double, right?
Jueves bebes.
Go ahead. Come on.
It's a sloppy holiday in the U.S. In addition to some caricatures of Mexican culture. More on that in a minute. Cinco de Mayo in America is one of the top five drinking days of the year.
It's one of the top five drinking days of the year. Come on.
You'll often see people acting foolish and drunk, all in the name of celebrating Mexican culture.
Because that's what they really see. You know what that reminds me of? There's a scene in Kill Bill, Volume 2. There's a scene in Kill Bill, Volume 2, where he talks about Superman to Beatrice Kiddo. Forgot what her regular name was, but I know at the end it was Uma Thurman's character.
Okay.
And he talks about how when you look at Superman, he goes, he's an alien from another planet. And Superman's form is invincible, strong, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose to hide as a human. And he said in his human form, his human identity is weak and sickly, is nerdy and whatever. And he says what that really shows you is how he saw humanity.
Wow.
Damn. Compared to how magnificent he was.
Right.
So when they do this on Cinco de Mayo, they're letting you know that's how they really see Mexicans, as a bunch of drunk, sloppy, practicing no restraint.
Right.
And it's their day to try to act like what they see
right.
in Issachar.
There's a video, like a little cartoon about, I don't know, it's a little cartoon, and then they go to China, ding, chong, ding, 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 and then they go to Africa, oh, yo, yo, and then they go to Mexico. He's traveling around the world, and tacos, 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 tacos. That's,
yep.
Bro, I've seen it, like, on Facebook crazy yeah. numerous times.
That's not a Mexican that comes up with those things.
No,
that's the way Esau sees us. That's the way the white person, white man sees us.
Scroll up to the photo again, Soto Tenia. Look, I mean, you got Becky. I mean, it's literally making mockery.
Yeah.
Well, remember, Rebecca was one of the foremothers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You say Betty.
Yeah,
you can say Betty.
You got them with the poncho.
I remember I used to say that.
Karen?
I'd be like, we
Karen.
Can, yeah, you say Karen. You can
yeah.
say Karen. Becky's actually Becca. Becky for
right.
short for Rebecca. Mm. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying
you're right. You see it. They're not. You can tell. Look,
at a baseball game.
They got spirits on them, too.
Right.
Look, and talk about cultural appropriation. They also got the Braves thing. That's a whole other thing. So they got Gad and Issachar that they're making mockery of right there.
Mm.
Come on.
The sugary margaritas are sure to result in a nasty hangover, and the Mexican food probably isn't authentic.
Right, so because, you know, the sugar just shuttles the alcohol into your system even more, so you wind up more jacked up.
Mm.
Right,
but and then you're going to talk about thinking it's real stuff.
Right.
If you celebrate Cinco de Mayo out, you might well find yourself guzzling a few frozen margaritas. Not only are these frozen sugary drinks not really authentic, but if you're trying to watch your calorie consumption, they can wreak havoc on your diet. A single frozen.
Don't worry about that. That's it. She's just trying to tell you like the others. Like, scroll. Okay. Plus the so-called Mexican food. You can read that.
Plus the so-called Mexican food that many in the U.S. consume on Cinco de Mayo is hardly authentic. Mm-hmm. If your idea of honoring Mexican culture on Cinco de Mayo is by eating a cheese-covered chicken burrito, you'll probably be pretty upset to know that what you're eating is more American than Mexican. Most Mexican restaurants that Americans flock to serve dishes that people in Mexico would never dream of eating.
Come on.
That sombrero and fake mustache are racist. The fact that most Americans don't know that what Cinco de Mayo is makes it easy for some people to say and do things that are culturally insensitive.
No, it's not insensitive. It's disrespectful and it's cultural appropriation. But go ahead.
Who could forget President Donald Trump? 2016 Cinco de Mayo Facebook post in which he declared his love for Hispanics and Trump Tower Skull Bowls. Not to be outdone, former Governor Mike Huckabee of Arkansas was trashed on Twitter in 2017 for an equally insensitive post saying he would celebrate Cinco de Mayo by drinking an entire jar of hot salsa, watching Speedy Gonzalez cartoons and speaking Spanish on there.
Wow. Yo, I'm telling you this. That's the way they see us. It's mad disrespect.
They oppress the man even in his heritage.
Right, come on.
Not to mention, you'll probably see many people wearing sombreros, fake mustaches, and ponchos, which is cultural appropriation, plain and simple. If you're going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo this year, leave the giant sombrero at home.
Oh, my
This God. Is an opinion column.
Yep. So, well, you got something you want to bring up?
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
Give me a Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 or 6. Let your line shine before men.
Yeah, got you. Chapter 5, verse 16.
Give me that.
The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16. Your light so shine before men.
Start at verse 14.
Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid.
So. Brothers and sisters, especially Issachar, the tribe of Issachar, we need to do better, man. I know we like to drink. Mexicans are, they, you know, you talk to it, other tribes or other
hey,
races.
I'm going to front, man.
It's true.
We used to say, like, you want to get something done in the house, go to Home Depot, pick up some Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
and get
you
them
know,
some beers.
Pay them like, you know, $10 an hour, and then give them a six pack at the end of the shift, and they hook it up.
You showing love.
Yep.
That's why I'm bringing this up.
Oh my God! And I'm not, like, it's disrespectful. I'm laughing because of the stuff that we would like actually be on board with. You know what I'm saying?
It's the American thought process.
Oh my goodness! I'm telling you, boy, that thing is polluted.
Right.
Yeah, it's polluted.
But yeah,
the car doesn't make it any better because that's where they tend to hang out.
Right. So I mean, hey, I've always said this: stereotypes, they come from somewhere, right? Like in some cases,
most of the time they're true.
They tend to be true. So what you're saying makes sense, though, right?
Yeah.
That's not even our culture and our identity. So we got to do better. You got to let your light shine.
We got to be better in your repentance.
You got to show people, be better. Hey, that goes into, get me down to Deuteronomy. This is your wisdom in the sight of the nations, right? That goes with what you just brought out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm done unless the rest of you got anything else that you want to bring out.
That's it. We just got to do better and show, hey, we are a strong and mighty people. Do we like our drink? We do like our drink. But the scripture says in moderation, not to be drunk or sloppy. We got to be in moderation. We got to let our light shine, and we got to show this, that where we're
right.
about to read.
Start at 5.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me.
He didn't teach us drunkenness. He didn't teach us, you know, like those stereotypes. We can't just pass the buck and say, oh, you know. Deuteronomy 28:37, where proverb and a byword. Hey, a lot of times we earn those things.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of times as a people, we earn those monikers.
Yeah.
So we got to do better. We got to do better. And we got to do what God taught us. Come on, read this again.
Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it.
Come on.
Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations.
That's all we got to protect us in the sight of the nations, all right? It says, keep therefore and do these statutes and judgments, because that's our wisdom and understanding. Do you know why? Because he's letting you know that there will be no wisdom. There will be no understanding in the sight of the nations. Following after their ways, that's the pollution. That's why when you read that in Micah, it says this is not your rest, because it's sorely polluted, and it will destroy you with a sore destruction. That's why you read when the northern kingdom got together in 2nd Ezra, they said, let's go someplace where these people aren't,
right?
So that we may there keep our statutes and our judgments. They were quoting this.
Mm-hmm.
That, so we may there keep our statutes and our judgments, what we were never able to do. Come on.
Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
No, they don't say that now. They say, let's dress up in sombreros, let's drink, and let's act like what we think Mexicans act like.
Right.
Hey, I was watching in the news not too long ago about the president of Mexico, like, being like, how they come and they just want to take over the lithium that's over there for the batteries, right? They want to take over the hundreds of acres of lithium up there. And he says they make fun of us. They think the Americans think that they can just come and take our natural resources. And say, he says, not going to happen. But guess what? You so-called Mexicans, they look at you as sombreros, beers, margaritas, what have you. That's all they look at it. But then they don't know, or you don't show how Mexico, within wherever you go, it's not a second world power. It could be a first world power with the resources and the money and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? In the eyes of the white man, you still sloppy. You still a drunk. All you know how to do is your drink, and that's it.
Yep.
You're worthless, pretty much. Yep.
But you can't let that dictate who we are. You got to let your light shine. Read verse 7, and then I'm done.
Verse 7, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?
Right, there's no, you got to remember, there's no nation greater
mm-hmm.
than our nation, the Israelites, because we have God so nigh unto us in all things. He ain't close to nobody else,
right?
We just read that his habitation will be with us. So we got to do better as a people as well. But that's a little bit of insight into Cinco de Mayo. I have more links and stuff like that, but like I said, the show went somewhere else with what came out, so it is what it is.
All praise.
Any closing thoughts?
No.
What happened to us highlighting a class? That thing stopped.
Yeah, I forgot to do that.
Good job. give him a couple more.
Okay.
Couples two.
Yeah, I'm like, you gotta get the combo in there.
Now you're being abusive.
Yeah, now you're over there. They
gave him an extra
one. We'll get it back.
Gave you a fresh one.
I'm glad to be back.
We got Spanish on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Saturday, exclusively on Facebook at the Lost 144K, 11 a.m. Arizona time. We have La Hora del Poder. Mm-hmm. All right. It will be the Spanish Power Hour. All right.
If Officer Iscar's with it, I'll probably see if we can go into war against all Puerto Ricans in Spanish.
Oh, okay. All praises. Yeah, we did that in English. They're going to try to model
that. Man, that book is so heavy, bro.
That thing is good, bro. That thing is good. Lords, well, next week we'll be on same time, Wednesday, 7 a.m. Arizona time, 10 p.m. Eastern. Y'all stay safe, stay in the spirit. Enjoy celebrating the Day of Simon on Sunday. Mm-hmm. All right? Start Sunday. And Lords, we'll see you next week. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Well needed.
All praise.
Brother Jaden reached out.
Hey, I know you were asking about Eric. Uh-huh. Soldier Ciroc and soldiers of the I was reading his report. He said that some of the soldiers are calling his peers are calling him, right? But what Soldier Ciroc was telling me is that brother don't even answer the phone calls, bro.
Soldier Eric?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't answering mine either. He came to MO.